Good luck with the wires. Y'all gonna die.
Yes, sir. I gotta bring that energy for y'all, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of The Link Up. Welcome to another week in wrestling. We are your hosts, the one and only Ron the Don.
And the other host, Mr. All in One from the 631. Alan Zander has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. And man, when let me tell y'all, we got some stuff to cover today.
Man, we got a big one today. I don't even know where to get started. We had Bound for Glory, we had Halloween Havoc, we had big things happening on SmackDown and Raw, and we had big things happening outside of the ring. So let's take a step outside first, because I know this is something that you're very excited about. WWE has announced its new partnership with independent wrestling companies / independent wrestling schools, WWEID. So this is essentially a program in which WWE is going to partner with independent wrestling schools to kind of filter in the talent from the schools to the WWE to kind of give them a shot at the big leagues. Xander, being that you are in wrestling school right now, wrestling training, how big is this, you know, for, you know, independent up-and-coming wrestlers out there?
Man, when I tell you this is a major step for independent wrestlers like myself, because it opens up so many doors. And like, and this is the thing. The schools that were announced, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is just the first of many. You don't know if this is going to be, if there's going to be more schools ahead. Excuse me, y'all. I'm excited. I'm hyped right now. So my word is going to be everywhere. But look, it's probably, you know, you got the first, like, you know, handful of schools. Like, you got Reality of Wrestling in Houston, Cody Rhodes' Nightmare Factory, Seth Rollins' Black and Brave Academy in Davenport, Elite Pro Training, Elite Pro Wrestling Training Center, and Concord, New Hampshire, and Knox Pro Academy in Los Angeles. This is just a handful of the first, like, schools that are being brought up. So you never know what other schools are being brought up. Hey, never know if Wildcat probably get on that list somehow, some way. I mean, you never know, man. But hey, we just gonna keep at it. You know what I mean? Just go with the flow. But everything lining up. Cause I don't know if you noticed, but a couple pods ago, I kind of was hoping for something like this. You know what I mean? Cause you know how they were slowly, you know, they were steering solely on college athletes, which nothing against college athletes, cause y'all some athletic people. I'm gonna give y'all that. I can't say what I really want to say, but y'all some real athletic. If you know what I'm saying. But for the ones that's been putting in the work, for the ones that have the love and the passion and the drive for this, this does a lot for them. A lot.
I definitely think it's cool to see, man. I'm excited, you know, just for like the idea of like all these people out here on their journey. Because like really the only time like they was really getting chances is like you might appear like as an extra, like security, you might appear, you know, TNA, AEW Dark, but now, you know, WWE is like filtering in that talent. And, you know, when you look at people in WWE that has made an impact, that's come from the independent circuit, you get people like AJ Styles, people like LA Knight, Seth Rollins started off in Ring of Honor, CM Punk, you know, a lot of guys. So, you know, it's wrestling is more than just the college athletes, even though, you know, there are freaks of nature. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable, you know, guys like that. So being able to blend that mix, I think it's going to be really important. Somebody I also want to give a shout out to is that boy Grayson Waller, because he was actually saying not that long ago how, like, he was hoping that WWE didn't steer too much in the college direction, because he felt like it was important for the guys who, you know, was grinding on the independent scenes, guys and gals who was grinding on the independent scenes, you know, to get that look and get that shot. So, you know, shout out to him for sure.
Yeah. And it kind of gives them, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it gives them a break, but when you get the people from the independent circuit, the top talent from the independent circuit, you don't really have to train as much. You really can just put them in the ring and be like, okay, show me what you know. You know what I mean? And then they can go off of that. Whereas the college athletes, you got to teach them how to roll, got to teach them how to bump, got to teach them how to run the ropes. The people that already have doing it from the independent circuit, they know how to do that. They know it like you know, the back of their hand. So it's just like it's less for them to do at the same time.
And, like, you know, for the people trying to get into wrestling, now you have two different alternatives. If you're an athlete, you got a path. If you, you know, want to learn how to wrestle, you can go to a school, you know, work your way up and, you know, learn. This almost like my rise in WWE 2K, basically.
That's what I'm saying. Two different paths. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got the college athlete path. You know what I mean? You could be on the football field. You know what I mean? Doing your thing. Or you could be on the indie circuit doing your thing. You know what I mean?
WWE 2K. If y'all use that idea.
What's crazy is they probably going to do something like that. But I'm just trying to wonder like how they're going to like incorporate that. Because, I mean, a WWE 2K game with some basketball or football in it, I don't know how they're going to make that work.
See the basketball only because like 2K makes
NBA 2K, 2K. Yeah,
but you know everything else I don't know,
man. But even they under two different like umbrellas, you know what I mean? They under two different entities within 2K. But yeah, go ahead,
man. You know, we talking about, you know, the up and coming, where the up and coming is really shining right now is in NXT, and they recently had a little PLE this past weekend, NXT Halloween Havoc, man. What did you think of the show overall?
Oh, it was solid. Definitely solid. A lot of good moments. And it was a couple bad moments. Oof. Like, got a couple title changes here and there. Girl Kalani Jordan lost her North American championship. It took three women to take her out. So that kind of shows you, like, where they stand on her with that. You know what I mean? Like, as far as, like what she going to bring to the table eventually. So I'm excited to see what happens with that whole women's division in NXT. And then on top of that, you also had, you know, Trick Williams retain his championship, you know, for Bully Ray or Bubba Ray Dudley to come out and make the save. You know what I mean? So it's a lot to take in. Yeah, you know what? He channeling in that Bully Ray again, bro. I'm telling you, he's going to be a... Look, Bully Ray, if y'all don't know, that dude was a crash out, bro. Instinct, he was like... Look, he was one of the OGYNs, bro. Let me just say that.
Hey, man, I definitely think the show was solid. I'm actually surprised to see Obafemi take two straight losses. It's kind of, like, crazy. But, you know, with him taking those losses... It's only up from here. Plus, he might be getting into a little program with Nikita Lyons. And, I mean, you feel me? I just, you know, salute, my boy. That's all I can really say. Other than that, man, I thought it was super solid show. Like, Trick Williams and Ethan Page did their thing. The ambulance match between Ridge and Andre Chase was cool. But I really enjoyed the tag team match between... Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez versus Julia and Stephanie Vaquer. The NXT women's division is definitely on fire right now. So it was definitely overall good PLE. We got some title changes with Kalani losing, but overall solid show. And I'm excited for when NXT goes to that ECW arena. Sticking with NXT though, you know, we got Bubba Ray Dudley showing up. You know, they headed to the ECW arena. Did you get a chance to watch NXT this past week? And what do you think about NXT entering the home of ECW next week?
Oh, now see, due to, you know, time conflicts, you know, with me having to go to training, it's really difficult to watch NXT live. But I was able to. Are you talking about this week's NXT that was happening or last week before Havoc? This week?
This week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see it. The only thing I know about was with the whole Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan situation. That's the only thing I was able to keep up with. Yeah, so
yeah.
So guys, people that are watching the podcast, if he mentions anything about NXT, I probably didn't watch it because I'm probably at training, you know, getting my work in. So, you know, hope to God I'll be on NXT, you know, someday. You know what I mean? And y'all be watching me on TV.
Don't even trip, man. That's what I'm here for. I got you. So basically, we had a square off between Roxanne, Cora, and all the Fatal Influence. And then they went up between Julia, Stephanie Vaquer, Kalani Jordan, and I'm forgetting somebody. Oh.
Wasn't Jordan Grace? Nah, I'm not mistaken.
Jordan Grace came out.
Yeah. Okay.
I forget her new name, but, you know, she was Delta on in independent scenes, but I can't remember her new name.
Well, then we'll just call her that and they'll have to figure it out.
I'm sorry. I'm so used to Delta, you know, Australian wrestler WWE just brought in. Actually debuted at Halloween Havoc. So, yeah, we got that face off. So, the women's division in NXT is looking sharp, especially if Jordan Grace going to be hanging around for a little while. Javon Evans walked out on Cedric Alexander. So, that's going to be pretty interesting. Bubba Ray Dudley will team with Trick Williams to face Ethan Page and Ridge Holland next week when they go live from the ECW arena. And then also, one of my favorites, you know, Jeff Hardy is my favorite, but this guy and AJ Styles are like tied for second. He's going to be there, and he might be in the match. You know him, I know him, Rob Van Dam, he going to be there. Also, we getting that street fight between Lola Vice and Jada Parker with Don Marie. Don Marie is the special guest referee, so that's NXT really doing their thing. Like, Shawn Michaels really cooking.
Telling you, man. Look. Speaking of cooking, I won't say Shawn Michaels is cooking in every direction. Let me just say that. I ain't saying no more. But the fans out there know what I'm talking about.
Hey. Deepest roster in wrestling right now, man. Crazy. Man, speaking of cooking, though, TNA, where they crossed the line at. Had a Bound for Glory pay-per-view, man. Shout out to Rhino getting inducted in the TNA Hall of Fame. The Hardy Boys are your new TNA Tag Team Champions in 2024. Mike Bailey, Speedball Mike Bailey, went against Vikingo. That was a great matchup. You know, shout out to Chris Bay, man. Hope everything is good.
I'm trying to figure out, like, which spot did he get injured in? Was it that spear off the ladder that he got injured on? Or what? Like, what? I'm trying to figure out which spot it was that he got hurt at.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that, man. I need to see, because that neck injury, if you need immediate surgery, bro, it had to have been bad, dog. So, yeah. I just hope that it is not career altering or career ending. Like, I really hope that it's not the case, because immediate surgeries is never good. That's never good.
Yeah. Man, you know, that's kind of like what Tyson Kidd had. Get well soon. Yeah.
Tyson Kidd had to have immediate neck surgery. So it's like, oh, yeah, that's scary, yo.
Yeah, neck injuries are, like, in wrestling, it's tough. You know, you look
thing about
Edge,
wrestling, man.
Big E. Tyson
not
Kidd.
Guaranteed, bro. Yep. And then some big names you just named off. Well, we're not going to see her act like Tyson Kidd a big name, but you get what I'm saying, though.
Come on, bro. Don't disrespect the Hart Dynasty.
I ain't disrespecting the Hart Dynasty. I'm just saying, like, look, you just
Cesaro
named off Big E
and
Edge. Look, you just named off Big E and Edge, bro.
Tyson Kidd could have been somebody. You know, he was coming out there with the headphones on. The boy had a wave. It was looking like you out there.
Ah, watch out. Get back.
All right, man. Man, and who would have thought in 2024, JBL, yes, John Bradshaw Layfield would be making waves. He showed up at Bound for Glory, laid out Frankie Kazarian, laid out Ryan Nemeth, clothesline from hell to Joe Hendry. Essentially, playing a major role in the result of that match. Yes, Joe Hendry kicked out, but he didn't have enough left to win that TNA championship, and Nick Nemeth ended up retaining. So I'm very interested to see what's going on between Nick Nemeth and JBL, like if they got a partnership or whatnot. Man, shout out to JBL, man. He just showing up in promotions, giving people the clothesline from hell. And man, still got it at 2024.
Look, now, look, this is what I'm going to say. If this would have happened in like 2010, 2011, bro, I would have been on the edge of my seat, bro. Because like I said, look, you and I both know, we was some big TNA marks back in the day. Now, 6th, 7th grade, bro. Now, when I tell you, if that would have happened, bro, oh, yeah, that would have been a story. We would have been going back to school. Hey, you seen TNA last night, bro? JBL going crazy.
No.
That would have been some crazy stuff. But, hey, like, look, the same instant with the Motor City Machine Gun. Sorry, y'all, I'm hype. It's kind of the same thing with that. Rather late than never. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, rather do it now than never. So
yeah, nah, definitely. I you know, who knows, maybe JBL, you know, will want to be a manager for Nick Nemeth. But speaking of, you know, people wanting to be a manager, somebody who also made waves outside of WWE this past weekend, the woman that just left, that was the ring announcer, Samantha Irvin, man. She is, I still got love for her, but she is not endearing herself to the wrestling community right now. A lot of people are upset that she left because she was doing such a good job. But in her talk, she said that it was because she wanted to be more than just a ring announcer. She never wanted to be a ring announcer. She wanted to be a manager, somebody who could play more of an on-screen role.
General manager.
She said, general manager. But she also said a manager, like, would like to manage for somebody like Zoe Stark. She said she thought she could see herself managing. But WWE didn't have this in the cards for her, so she left. She was unhappy just being stuck to a ring announcer. So, understandable, because trust, I have had some jobs where I was not happy, and I left. So, it's understandable, but, you know, a lot of people are going at her, calling her a gold digger, saying that she's going to go join Ricochet in AEW, and she's telling people to STFU out here. What is your thoughts on all this involving Samantha Irvin and the backlash surrounding her exit?
First off, I'm just going to sit here and say this. There will be none, and I repeat, no Samantha Irvin slander on this podcast. But let me just say, like you said, she is not doing herself a service by, you know, calling everybody out and everything like that. Like, it's showing that she's letting the stuff get to her. And as we all know, hell, this is an industry where you got to really have thick skin. Can't let stuff get to you. None of that. Like, you gotta just go with the flow. Let it be. Because at the end of the day, the people that are probably commenting this is probably some big slob on his damn computer. Probably with a damn lotion bottle on the side of the damn laptop. You know what I'm saying? And just going crazy. You know what I mean? So, hey, you can't let that type of stuff get to you. And this type of person also probably collects Funko Pops for a living, bro. So, look, you can't let them. You can't take nobody serious, bro. Like, come on, man.
When this man said he was excited, boy, he was not kidding. I'm about to lose my hat. Hey, boy, you going crazy. Hey, man. Yeah, Samantha Irvin, bless up, fam. Like,
yeah, man, look, and it's the thing, if you do decide to go to AEW, go to AEW. Like, if that's what you're gonna get your bag from, go to AEW. Like, I would expect for her to go to AEW, because all that's gonna do is piss everybody off. So if you want to really piss everybody off, go to AEW.
Manage your boy Ricochet, because everybody is on him right now, because they say this man can't talk and he get terrible promos. So if you can manage him, you know, I'm just saying, he got the in-ring work. It's
hey, and look, I ain't gonna lie. From a marketing standpoint, that would be really good for them. Like right now, because everybody already talking about it. Everybody's already expecting it.
Exactly. And
if they actually do it, bro, oh yeah, bro. They low key gonna break the internet. They already say Samantha the Irvin breaking the internet. Wait, what's that?
What she could do, like say she go to Ricochet, you know how every time like an announcer is about to announce Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, like, nah, give me the mic. She could be she could be that, like, for Ricochet.
Oh, bro. Hey, look, they could be.
Yeah.
Yo, it's so much that they could do with this whole social media thing and then them actually going. Bro, I'm telling you, man. They could break the internet. They already say Samantha Irvin breaking the internet, you know what I mean, with some of her pictures and stuff. This could really break the internet for her, you know what I mean? So, didn't mean to bring up the pictures and stuff, but I mean, hey, she look, she put stuff out there, bro. She be doing it, you know what I mean? She know what she doing.
Hey. Speaking of breaking the internet, I can't even talk. I'm thinking about them pictures.
See, we hype as hell right breaking now.
Speaking of breaking the internet. Speaking of breaking the internet, it's time. It's that time of the show where we're going to let this man Alexander do his thing. Because Val Venus is out of pocket, bro.
Oh.
Val Venus is out of pocket. He had a tweet, and I quote, because I cannot put on the screen. Yeah.
We're going to do and I quotes around here. We're going to do and I quotes. Make sure to emphasize that and I quote, because we are not saying this, and we are not, like, you know, like, sponsoring or endorsing any of this. You know what I mean? So
Val Venus said, and I quote, "Hello, biological ladies," in all caps. Fact. Nyla Rose is still a man. Fact. Cody Rose is still a cuck mid-carder who still can't get over regardless of how much the massive corporate machine pushes him. Fact. Sami Zayn, with an E on the end, will absolutely be carrying my bags and shining my boots. Mr. Xander, what has gotten in to the big Valboski, Val Venus?
Val Venus, first off, you posted this tweet on my birthday, bruh. So, now, I hate to say it, I gotta get on your ass. You know, so look. First off, you saying this whole thing about Nyla Rose. First off, she ain't bothering you. Just let Nyla Rose live her life. You know what I mean? If that's what she want to be by, okay, cool. Let her live her life. She ain't bothering nobody. Go ahead, you know what I mean? Do your thing. Cody Rhodes. Now, everybody know we don't take no Cody Rhodes slander at all on this podcast. At all. Like, zero. Like, see his thing. Like, you know what I mean? Look, Samantha Irvin, Cody, zero. Absolutely none. So, you saying Cody Rhodes is a cuck mid-carder? I mean, but that kind of doesn't sit well with me because, I mean, your whole career was low-key a mid-carder, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken, though, right? I don't think he ever won a world championship before.
Never.
I mean, I never won a world championship. I never won a mid-card championship before, so I really can't speak in that regard. So, I mean, hey, you're doing a little bit better than me, so I will give you that credit. I will give you that. But as far as him not getting over, you mean to tell me people still ain't saying whoa every week? People aren't singing his song every week? People ain't cheering him every week? Come on. His merchandise ain't selling every week. Let's be real now. Val Venus. And then Sami Zayn. Still carrying my bags and shining my boots? Woo! Now see? You see, Val? That's what you're wrong at, sir. If I'm not mistaken, Sami Zayn probably done a lot more than you did in your career. I ain't gonna lie. His career is still going on strong. And this man, Sami Zayn, has had opportunities for the World Heavyweight Championship. So, with that being said, that kind of makes him better than you, sir. And that message right there is courtesy of Mr. All-in-One from the 631, Alan Xander.
You know, Val Venus, you had one of my favorite characters ever like in the Attitude Era, like my favorite character. When I explode on the WWF, as you put it, man, how far you've came. No pun intended. No Diddy. Yeah, it's crazy. But to be honest, the last time we seen or heard from you, you was in TNA and you couldn't get over it, bro. You can't, you know. I mean, I'm just saying. What was his name? Captain Sean Morley? Wasn't he fighting Orlando Jordan? Or beefing with Orlando Jordan or something like that? But
talking about Val Venus and TNA?
Yeah, he was like Sean Morley or something like that. That was his name. He was bald.
Honestly, like, I'm gonna take the words out of Triple H's mouth, bro. He had a run in TNA, right? Mm-hmm. I took a nap for 20 minutes. I missed the whole thing. I forgot about that, bro. And I was watching TNA back in them days, bro.
That's the only reason I believe that. That's the only reason I remember it, because I remember like when Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff came and they brought all these guys in. But you mentioned Triple H. Forget Val Venus. Let's move on to SmackDown. And SmackDown actually started out with Triple H being called out by Randy Orton. Randy wanted Kevin Owens so bad. And, you know, he called out Triple H to get what he wanted. Also, Triple H granted that match for Crown Jewel. But he said he was trying to protect Randy Orton from Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens isn't the same Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton is the same Randy Orton. We also saw LA Knight ruin Game 7 between Andrade and Carmelo Hayes. Now he's getting both of them at Crown Jewel. Naomi defeated Candice LeRae. Cody Rhodes took the first shot at Gunther and missed because he got beat down by Gunther and Kaiser of Imperium, but saved by Randy Orton, who had eyes on that World Heavyweight Championship as he handed it to Cody. Then, speaking of TNA, you know, we saw the Motor City Machine Guns beat DIY to earn the number one contenders match, the earn the number one contenders spot against the Bloodline for the tag team titles. And Solo Sikoa was so fired up, he tempted the Motor City Machine Guns into challenging them right after they won this match. And that was the biggest mistake, because Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, you know, our real true and only tribal chief Tongaloa, lost those tag team titles to the Motor City Machine Guns. And that's because you had Jimmy Uso come out, interfere, Roman Reigns come out, interfere, and then at the very end, another masked individual came out and made his impact on this match. And that was the one and only main event showing up in the main event, Jey Uso. And so, yeah, we ended SmackDown with the Usos reuniting as Roman Reigns watched on. What was your thoughts on SmackDown as a whole?
I kind of like how they did the whole, like, you know, Motor City Machine Guns win the championships, and then a couple days later, you got the Hardys win the TNA Tag Team Championships. So that kind of is like, you know, kind of like, I wouldn't say a full circle moment, but it like, you know, it's like an alternate universe type of deal. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
But yeah, it is crazy. It is. It really is. But yeah, man, it was a pretty solid, you know, SmackDown. Now, like I was saying about the whole Cody and Randy thing, they don't just do stuff for no reason, bro. Randy Orton been looking at that championship way too many times, bro. He's done this too many times. I think Randy Orton is going to be that person that dethrones Cody. I think he can. I think he just might do it.
So, I think not only he can, I think he will. And I have a question to ask you, because I've been seeing this online a lot lately. Do you think Randy Orton is behind all of these people turning on Cody Rhodes, including Kevin Owens?
Ooh. Yeah, I could see it. I could definitely see it. But it's just like, are they having this match now to kind of like play like the kind of like faking it or something like that. Like they're kind of like they're still like in cahoots with each other.
I wouldn't say faking it, but maybe like Randy Orton is like slowly pulling the strings, and then like he's gonna have this match just to, you know, try to kind of show that he's still on Cody's side.
Actually, I don't think that's the case. I think this kind of goes back to when he said, like, I won't stop helping you until it becomes a problem. Something like that.
Yeah, he said that like, on SmackDown in the locker room.
And now it's slowly becoming a problem. So I think Randy is going to be like, that's it, I've had enough. And then just, I guess, snap on Cody or whatever. You know what I mean? So I don't really think he's behind it, but it's not too far-fetched, though. Like, he still could be behind it, but I don't think it's become a problem yet. But it slowly is becoming a problem with him helping him out every week.
SmackDown was, as they say online, absolute cinema. You know, from start to finish. Hey, that could be the name.
I'm telling you, I think that would fit good. Like, I mean, I know everybody's saying, you know, like Paul Levesque era, but I think cinema era fits perfectly, because if you look at everything that's happening on SmackDown, Raw, and NXT, especially the stuff that we finna talk about as far as like NXT goes, cinema era all day.
Definitely. So let's get, you know, we're not finished with the Bloodline. Monday Night Raw started off with the Usos reuniting in that ring. Jey Uso laying down the law. If he gets back in, he's nobody do boy no more. He's gonna call his own shots, make his own decisions. And then came out the rest of the Bloodline, and they fended off the Bloodline. Then we had
Bloodline fending off the Bloodline. It don't sound right.
Sheamus defeated Ludwig Kaiser. Ivy Nile defeated Zelina Vega. We had Seth Rollins, Bronson Reed, crazy brawling in the back. Man, shout out to Bronson Reed doing all this crazy stuff. Then we had my favorite part of Monday Night Raw. Karrion Kross in the Final Testament threatened the Miz. Either he's going to help them with the Wyatts, or he's going to need help when it comes to the Final Testament. And so he tried to go back to R-Truth, apologize, because he knows he's wrong and he knows why the Wyatts are after him. But R-Truth, not as dumb as, you know, some people might think, he didn't fall for this apology. He knocked Miz on his keister, as JR would say. And he said, good luck with the Wyatts. Y'all gonna die. Man, that was my favorite part of Monday Night Raw. Shout out to R-Truth, man. Continuing to be a gem. We need another single titles run, man. I'm just saying. Not no 24/7/11.
50-plus years old, man. And still out here doing his thing, bro. Like, bro, he is the oldest active WWE wrestler that they have right now, bro. And he still has the same moveset that he had when he first came back to WWE. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that right there just tells you, like, that is crazy, yo.
Bro, shout out to R-Truth, man. Really, like, that was,
don't crack.
That was my favorite moment of Monday Night Raw. He said, y'all gonna die.
And that's crazy to think, because words like that was not allowed in PG era.
Exactly.
So I don't know if that was PG.
We gearing up for NXT. I mean, between the Carlito thing last week and then the R-Truth thing this week, we definitely turning the corner. But we had the War Raiders become the new number one contenders for the World Tag Team Champions, Tag Team Championships. Hey, I got a lot of mistakes today, man, but it's okay. We live. Let's get it.
Yeah, we hype.
Man, Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston take a L again. Chad Gable cost the LWO, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee their chance. We seen Xavier Woods get heated in the back. Then we also saw the Wyatts abduct the Miz. So the Miz has been taken by the Wyatt family, or the Wyatt Six. Then we had a lot of beef between Jimmy, Jay, Sammy. Jimmy and Sammy had a stare down. Sammy was trying to convince Jay to stay out of the bloodline business. Jay told him he don't know what he's talking about because he's not family. This kind of rubbed Sammy the wrong way. And then when it was all said and done, Jimmy and Jay spotted Sammy speaking to Solo. Now, we're going to get into what this could possibly mean later when we do our crown jewel predictions. And then in the main event, Dominic Mysterio was promised by Raw GM Adam Pearce that he was going to face a former world champion, and he got none other than Damian Priest. This kind of aggravated Finn Balor. Dom actually defeated Damian Priest in the main event of Monday Night Raw because of the Judgment Day's interference, except for Finn Balor. But then Damian Priest ended Raw the last man standing as he took out the entire Judgment Day with his fist, his legs, and a steel chair. And that was Monday Night Raw. What was your thoughts on that?
Damian Hogan and Rhea Hogan. They just taken out every member of the Judgment Day by themselves, bro. Every week. Like, man, that's wild to me, bro. Like, I just don't understand why they, like, see, it's just like this whole story or whatever, they're going to have to come up with some type of direction for it, because it's just like it's kind of reaching a stagnant point, you know what I mean, with the whole like the Judgment Day thing or whatever with Rhea and Liv, and then you got Damian and Finn. Well, now Damian and Dom, Damian and Finn, like, it's the same ones.
I will say, I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, maybe this is too premature because we don't know what's going to happen yet, but it looks like Finn Balor is possibly going to be leaving the Judgment Day because everybody else was on one accord except for him, and he just kind of, you know, didn't help out. So,
yeah.
But
all these new additions to the Judgment Day just kind of making their group die down, man. That group.
Hey, Carlito, the best member, if you ask me. That man be having, like, gems every week.
Like, that's the thing, too. Like Carlito being a member in it was just like, dang. Like when it first started, I was like, dang, man, that was random.
Yeah.
Carlito on the Judgment Day. But now it's slowly growing on me, but it's just like, yeah, they got to find like a direction with this whole story.
Are you interested in the War Raiders at all?
As of right now, it's kind of, but it's not their fault. It ain't their fault at all. It's really mine, because I really ain't been tapped into wrestling like that for the past couple of days. But I mean, yeah, I can get behind. Now, one thing I do like about them is that I like that they changed their name back. You know what I mean? Back to, like, the, you know, the OG War Raiders. Does that first day was the Viking experience, the Viking, like, yeah, it was just a whole bunch of weird stuff. They were stuntmen, yeah, Vince, bro. Vince be ruining tag teams, bro. Like, dang, Vince.
Man, you think Vince is going to ruin entertainment as a whole? Because he's looking to start up a new company. You know, not a wrestling company. He's looking to start up an entertainment company for nonfiction and fiction, you know, type projects.
I think I know what you're talking about. I don't think that project might not even see the light of day. And if it do, I'd be surprised. But they're going to have to wait till that case blows. And that case ain't going nowhere no time soon. It's still ongoing.
Yeah. So good luck with that, bud. All right, man. We got Crown Jewel predictions. So let's see if we can get back on track.
Yeah.
Starting with the
W. Look, I want to go for an undefeated record. I want to go for a clean sweep. So we can try to get these right.
Say less. WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill defending against teams of Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. A half of the Metaphor and Last Legend and Jakara Jackson. And Damage Control's Io Sky and Kairi Sane.
How long have Bianca and Jay had them titles since they won it back?
Since it's not Clash at the Castle. The King and Queen. Wait, which one was it?
But they lost them and won them back. It couldn't have been long if we don't remember. So I'm going with Bianca and Jade, bro. Bianca and Jade.
To be honest, I think the same thing. But who would I want to see to win? Damage Control. That's not my pick. My pick is Bianca and Jade. But I would want to see Damage Control win. This one is very interesting as far as picking who wins. Because you can protect Bianca and Jade because they necessarily don't have to be pinned here. And I think...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think either Chelsea Green or somebody in Metaphor is going to take the pin.
Now, I will say this. Who I want to win? I would like Chelsea Green and Piper Niven to win because Chelsea Green, she's been on a roll lately. She's been on a roll lately. So she do, deserve it if that was to be the case. I would not be mad if they won them championships. I would not be mad.
All right, we got another interesting one. The United States Championship is on the line as LA Knight defends against Andrade and Carmelo Hayes.
LA Knight.
I'm going...
He hasn't had too many title defenses.
And that's why I got to go with him, Carmelo Hayes. I feel like LA Knight's reign has been kind of lackluster. So, I don't know. I just feel like we need a refresh. Carmelo Hayes.
Now, if they go ahead, throw that strap on Carmelo Hayes, that'll definitely be a major step in the right direction for him because he just got called up not so long ago, and now he got a strap on him? Oh, yeah.
Next one, Randy Orton and Kevin Owens.
This one can go either way. Ooh. You know what? I got an idea for this one. I'm about to flip a coin because this one can go either way.
Man, give me Kevin Owens, man.
This one can go either way. So I gotta flip a coin for this one.
I'm going with KO. All right,
so we're gonna put heads for Randy and tails for Kevin Owens. I'm gonna flip the little Google coin. You know what I mean? So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna see this bad boy. Oh, heads. Give me Randy Orton. So look, in the words of R-Truth, one of us gonna die.
Next match, Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed.
Seth.
I agree.
He lost too much, bro.
Even though I don't want Bronson to lose either, but it's probably Seth.
My boy Seth, bro, he been getting his ass whooped.
I'm not gonna lie, though. I could see, like, one of the matches, Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens or Seth versus Bronson Reed ending in a disqualification. Like, there's no winner. Just to prolong. I could see it in either one of those matches.
You know what? I'm even go as far as to say, nah, because that's... Them odds is way too high for that. That's something you put on a parlay. I was going to say, give me neither. Result being no contest. But if I had to pick a winner, give me Seth. But
for sure.
But if I can go with anything, that would probably be the match that I would say would be the DQ finish or the no contest finish. Seth and Bronson. Seth and Bronson, no contest. That's my primary match.
Next one. This one is a good one. Roman Reigns and the Usos, the OG bloodline. Versus the Bloodline 2.0, which I assume is going to be Solo, Tamatunga, and Jacob. But it seems like it's going to be Solo, Tamatunga, and Tungaloa.
Nah, I don't think it's going to be that either. It might be the Tongans and Jacob.
I'm reading the match card right now. It says Solo, Tamatunga, and Tungaloa.
Damn, so Jacob not wrestling? You know what? I think I kind of know why, but we're not going to speak. It's going to be in Saudi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I can see why.
So who you picking?
Oh, man. You know what?
That is tough.
It is, man, because it's just like, you know what, man? I guess I got to go with... I gotta go with the 2.0 bloodline. Because I need Solo to get that credible win that he that they're trying to give him so bad. He needs that credible win. Like, it should have happened, you know what I mean, a while back, but it didn't. So we're gonna try to put it in there now. So Solo getting that credible win that he desperately deserves, and well, not desperately deserves, but desperately needs. And you know, we're gonna go with that. We're gonna go Solo and the Tongans.
This is tough because obviously they're gearing up for War Games.
They're going to war.
This is tough because I can see this going in like different directions. I can see the Bloodline 2.0 winning because of Jacob if he's not going to be in the match. I can see Roman Reigns and the Usos win because of Sami Zayn. I could see the Bloodline 2.0 winning because they took the loss at Bad Blood, so to even it up, Jimmy can take the pin because clearly they don't care about Jimmy because he lost on his first match back. And Jay and Roman can't. You know what? I'm going to go with the Bloodline 2.0 because I feel like Roman and Jay will not be able to coexist. And I think
it's Jacob, too soon for that.
Yeah, I think Jacob is going to play a big factor. So when it comes to, do you think Sami Zayn or the final boss will show up at Crown Jewel?
I think Sami Zayn, but it's not going to be for who you think. So I'll just say that. It ain't going to be for who you think, but he going to pop up.
The WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship match, Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan.
Liv. You want to take Nia and I take Liv?
I don't know if Rhea Ripley going to let that slide, but I don't know if Nia Jax going to walk out with that championship, if you know what I mean. It might be Tiffy time. So, she's definitely going to show up and get interfered, and I think to even the odds with Raquel, Rhea Ripley is definitely going to show up, but it's like, how is it going to play out? Give me Liv Morgan. I think Rhea is going to take Raquel out of the picture. Tiffany is going to cost Nia the match, and Liv Morgan is going to be the Crown Jewel champ. So I'm going to agree with you on that. This one, the WWE Crown Jewel Championship, Cody Rhodes and Gunther.
You got your poster boy, Cody Rhodes. And then on the other corner, you got the powerhouse, the Ring General, Gunther. Dude, that if you beat him, you got something credible on your, like, on your belt, under your belt. You know what I mean? So, with that being said, I got Cody Rhodes taking the Crown Jewel Championship because it's just like, you can't have your poster boy losing these types of matches. But they put the, I just can't, like, bro, do I have to predict on this one? Because, man, it's just like, you really can't, like, because who really gets, I really don't understand who gets pinned, bro. Like, I still don't understand, bro, because it's like, y'all really did this to yourself. Now somebody has to take a loss, bro. Oh, man. They done shot themselves in the foot with this one, didn't they?
Yeah. But I think I know who's going to win. And this isn't a surprise to you because you know I'm taking my guy. Give me Gunther. Only because when you really look at it, Cody has too many ops right now. And too many potential ops. So you got Kevin Owens. And who's to say if Kevin Owens beats Randy Orton, Randy Orton might get frustrated and turn on Cody that night. He's going to have to fend off Kaiser, or, you know, somebody could cost him that match. Or, you know, I know you said the final boss might not show up, but he might. He might show up and confront Cody Rhodes and cost him that match. So I'm going to go with Gunther because Cody has too many. And you know, with a match like this, because they're both high-profile guys, world champions, they're not going to lose clean. Neither of these guys are going to lose clean. So that's why I got to go with Gunther. I'm rolling with Gunther on that one.
You're right. Okay.
So that's pretty still much tough, man. It. Let's hop on the WWE Reddit and see if we can find something to talk about.
So, what do you want to talk about? I want to talk about your dad, CM Punk. Dang, just out of nowhere. I want to talk about your dad. Hold up. He did it again? Oh, this is for a different podcast, bro. This ain't no wrestling stuff. He did it again to them boys? That's crazy, bro.
This one might be a good one.
Hey, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So wait. I know I'm kind of breaking the fourth wall over here, but are we actually live right now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops, breaking the fourth wall.
Good. I'm gonna share my screen real quick because I gotta get your opinion on this.
All right. Something you found on Reddit.
So, it says, okay. Austin Theory's sudden disappearance is making it more evident that the face turn is being saved for this. A John Cena and Austin Theory tag team.
Mm.
You see this happening?
That's not too far. It's not too far-fetched. It ain't too far-fetched at all. Because, I mean, hey, Austin Theory, John Cena, I mean, hey. I mean, hey, look, people want to hate all they want, bro, but Austin Theory, as a babyface, bro, it can definitely work.
It could.
It can work. If they, you know what I mean, if they do it right, it can work. I did notice a lot of Austin Theory being absent. Like, what's up with that? You know what I mean? I don't know.
But if you watch Austin Theory in NXT, like when he was in The Way, you would know that Austin Theory can actually, like, be a good character, like, all the stuff he was doing with Dexter Lumis when he was playing like the dumb jock guy. Like, Austin Theory has range. They just got to let him show it. So, now, would you be interested in this team, Austin Theory and John Cena team?
Like, would this be like a WrestleMania tag team or would this be like?
No, you can't have a John Cena team with Austin Theory and WrestleMania. For his last
now,
one.
If they do that, then they must think highly of Austin Theory if that's the case. You do something like that.
I think the plan is going to be, we definitely get in Cena and Orton. Cena challenging for the world championship at WrestleMania, or we get in Cena versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania. It's going to be one of the three. It's got to be one of the three.
But yeah, as far as like, I could definitely see this match happening. Tag team match between them two. I could see it. Well, that's a good one right there.
What, breaking up the Alpha Academy?
Nah, the one below it.
If you could change any previous Money in the Bank winners, who would it be and when would they cash in?
I would easily say. Easily. Say LA Knight.
That's what I
and the year that Damian Priest won the Money in the Bank contract. And he successfully cashes in.
Man.
He can even successfully cash in at WrestleMania and get the world championship at WrestleMania. You could pretty much put the same timeline as Damian Priest and give it to LA Knight. So you can put the exact same timeline if you want to.
The past two men's, like, Money in the Bank ladder matches, you like anybody else in that match could have got it except for the people who won. No offense against Damian Priest. I actually think Damian Priest had a solid run with the world championship.
I ain't gonna lie. After watching that documentary,
yeah,
I definitely could see like
one thing
I respect it.
One thing I thought of though, imagine if Logan Paul had the Money in the Bank briefcase. People already don't like him now. Just imagine. Just imagine if Logan Paul was the one to ruin Cody's story as soon as it started.
Oh, yeah. That would have been mad heat, bro.
Would have been crazy. But yeah. Any women you can think of?
We can go as recent as this year's Money in the Bank. Chelsea Green should have won over Tiffany Stratton, I think, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Definitely like Chelsea for that.
Well deserved.
I'm gonna be honest. A lot of the women's Money in the Bank ladder matches was forgettable.
Oh, the Carmella one where she won twice?
Yeah, because of James Ellsworth.
Yeah, you could have easily given that one to Becky Lynch after she lost it, after she had to give it back. You could have given that to Becky Lynch instead of having her win it again. Because what was the point in that? Y'all probably just had another ladder match? Yeah. That didn't make sense because she won it twice. Oh.
Man, I got another one. When Otis won at the WWE Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. AJ Styles should have won that match.
Yeah, didn't it slip out of his hands? Didn't it like that and he caught it?
Yeah.
Nah, but like RIP though to Rey Mysterio then though, man. He got thrown off the tower.
Man. He got thrown off the roof. And that man still... Man, think about it. Who went through it the most... Throughout the pandemic, bro, Rey Mysterio had to watch his son get beat up by Seth Rollins. Rey Mysterio got his eye gouged out by Seth Rollins. Rey Mysterio got thrown off a building. Like, Rey Mysterio got, didn't Roman Reigns, like, powerbomb him over the barricade on the floor? Like, then Roman Reigns powerbombed him into the Hell in the Cell. Like, they had a Hell in the Cell match. Like, Rey Mysterio really went through it, like, during the pandemic era, for sure.
Hey, look, he had to earn that Hall of Fame spot. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, they made him earn that, boy.
Okay, last one, only because I just saw this, and I've been seeing a lot of people say this, and I think this is... very interesting. When it comes to wrestling, this never made sense to me. During a normal match, putting an opponent through a normal table is a disqualification. However, if you put them through an announced table, it's not a disqualification. Does anybody understand the difference?
So putting somebody through a wood table is an automatic disqualification, but you don't put them if you put them through the regular announce table, it's not.
Yeah. Why is this?
They're both classified as tables, weapons. So I don't understand that logic either. That's a dope fiend jack-o'-lantern though. But yeah, I never understood that either, bro. I never understood that.
WWE just be clowning, bruh. Just like how the refs be looking at everything, but they don't never stop the match.
Jey Uso is still Intercontinental Champion right now, bro. I don't care what nobody say.
Shoot, Curtis Axel is still in the Rumble, bruh.
Yeah, he's the longest. He's like the longest ever person to ever be in the Rumble, in the Royal Rumble match, bruh.
But, you know, it is what it is. Anything you want to say to the people before we head on out of here?
All I got is just follow us all on social medias, you know what I mean? You know where to find us. And if you got any feedback, let us know, please. Because we like to do this stuff, you know what I mean? And we like to take, you know what I mean, like advice from y'all, you know what I mean? If y'all got something that y'all want that y'all want us to talk about, we're going to talk about it, you know what I mean? Y'all got any segment ideas, let us know. Hey.
Hey, man. And then, you know, after this, I'll take it a step further. If anybody feel like they can come on this show and talk wrestling with us two, nah, you got to stay in pocket because I will kick you out. But this is a family show. But, you know, if you want to come on here and talk the talk, you know you're wrestling, man, come kick it with your boys. We can talk all
day. Yeah, we are not on Netflix yet. We are not on Netflix yet, so you got to keep it in pocket. But once we get on Netflix, we might better loosen up a little bit. Just might.
But yeah, man, other than that, man, tap in with us. Like Xander said, man, y'all know the social media. It's going to be in the video. Follow that. Comment, you know, whatever you want us to talk about. We want to talk about what y'all want to talk about. You know, give us some ideas. like, share, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you like basketball, football, watch us on Off the Court, me and my other host, OG Key. We got a big interview coming with Lexi later this week or next week. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But other than that, you know, I'm your host, Ron and Don, your other host.
Nah, he got it right. He a co-host, y'all. I'm the host, Alan Zander. He the co-host. Let's get it, man. Nope. Hey, look, you said it. We live, bro. You said it, bro. I don't want to hear nothing.
And like that, peace.
Trip forever and I'm just not getting started. That's the one. Yeah.